anybody tonight? Wow. Okay, how is everybody tonight, including Michelle? Okay. It's good to know that you're alive, sort of. Michelle is very alive. But I pray that this week has been a good week and that you've had a good time in your homework, just digging through some of the treasures that God has for each of us. Just a few announcements before we get started tonight. The first one is please pray for Jen. She called me at about 6 and she is sick again. She says, Joy, I'm sick. I'm like, oh no. She has struggled with being ill this year. It's like every germ that comes to land hits her door. So please pray for her. She's curled up in a ball, not feeling so good. In terms of announcements, every year, People's Church, the DNA of our church is missions. So serving is not something we do. It is who we are. It is very much a part of the essence of who we are as a church body. And coming up this July, Mully's Children's Families Home, we go every year. And this year, they are taking a medical mission team in the month of July. So if this is something that is of interest to you, or somebody that you know who has a medical background, and this is something that they're interested in, please drop me an email and I will get you connected to the right people. Also, we are looking for life group leaders for women's ministry, life group leaders for life group ministry, and rooted leaders for our rooted ministry. That there's one that launches on February 5th, which is a Sunday, and then another session that we run in the summertime for women and a couple of mixed groups in the building, and we are looking for leaders for both of them. So if this is you, and I know most people who are leaders are saying, this is definitely not me, so I'm asking life group leaders who are here, if this is somebody in your group, drop me their name, and I will have a conversation with those people if they are interested in this. Also, Ministry Training Center. So somebody was asking me last week, what is that? Because they had heard something, and that Brett mentioned it a few times on Sunday in the service. So the Ministry Training Center is a place of learning and equipping for the body as a whole. We cover everything from discipleship to outreach. We have online learning opportunities, including an apologetics course that's starting on February 6th. We have a great mix of things, as well as an internship program. So if you are looking to be equipped as part of the body, this would be the place for you to go, and you can get that from our website. So I will include a link to that in the update that I send this week. Okay, how was your homework last week? Okay. I will pray for you guys some more. I think we have more fun creating the questions than you guys actually have doing the questions. But know that in order to give you the questions, we have actually done the homework before. So we don't get you to do it without actually doing it ourselves. But our first thing on tonight are, you should have loved this. Women crave chocolate. This should have been easy for you guys. So you're going to discuss your lean-in question at your tables. What kinds of things do you crave or long for? And what are some of the ways that you try to satisfy those cravings? And since nobody showed up with an entire cart full of chocolate, I say we're doing okay. So have a good discussion at your tables, and then I will come back and take us into tonight's message. Okay, ladies, we're going to draw it back in. Actually, I was just chatting with Bree in the back, and she's going to beat me up for this. So she says, most women crave chocolate. I am allergic to chocolate, so I stay away from chocolate. But Bree's solution is this. You crave chocolate, you get chocolate, and you have it in your hand, you look at it, and you give it away, and that will satisfy your craving to be more like Jesus. And I said, that is not working. Yeah, we're saying, that satisfies a craving for more chocolate for you. And she's very happy about that. But what are some of the things that you guys came up with in your life groups that you crave? Fame? very good one, Michelle. What else? Fortune. Okay, fortune. So fame and fortune. I heard chocolate over here somewhere. A man. Wow. Okay. Yes, this is women's Bible study. We will rephrase that as companionship. I love women's ministry. Okay. And if you put those all together, this could be a famous man who has a fortune who brings you chocolate. Okay. We can do this. I can see this is going to go south really quickly. But essentially, we were made to crave. And there's something specific we were made to crave, and we will get into that a little bit later. We're going to explore our cravings, our longings, and our desires. But before we do that, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the gift of women's ministry. It is a beautiful place to be. There is laughter, there is life, there are tears, there is frustration, all mixed up into one, Lord God, and brought to the foot of the cross because we love you. Lord God, as we discuss tonight and as we get into your word, clear our minds, clear our hearts, give us open and receptive ears to hear what you have to say to us, Lord God. And let it not be merely an exercise in hearing, but Lord, that we would apply your word to our life and live it out in the everyday. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of companionship and friends that surround us. We thank you, Lord God, that you don't leave us where we were, but that you lift us up and say, come, my child, let's grow together. So, Father, as we seek to grow tonight, direct and guide us, lead us. Help us to dig deeply and speak richly, Lord God, and experience you afresh. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we are launching out of John 6, 25 to 35. But before I go there, and you guys can go there in your Bibles, we need to understand where we are because context is critical. So at this point in time, Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and the crowd has determined that he is the prophet come into the world. And Jesus has stepped away from the crowd for a little bit, and he's come back, and he's walked on water, freaked the disciples out, and they've been scared. And as he tells them not to be afraid, immediately the boat comes to shore. And this is actually the next day. The people don't see Jesus, and they go looking for him. And can you imagine that the crowd is psyched? They're pumped. They've seen Jesus feed 5,000. They've seen miracles and signs and wonders. And this man, Jesus, has performed incredible thing, and they are craving yesterday's high. And they're looking for Jesus to do it again. So this is where we are, and we read. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you ate the loaves and had your fill, Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the good works that God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. So tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. As I review where we've come from, we have started this journey in discipleship about abiding, and we have spoken about the fact that our mind needs to be renewed, is what Jen talked about last week, and that we need to take down the lies and we need to put up truth. And we need to be changed from the inside out. If you remember, she read it out of the message, and it said, change from the inside out, from Romans 12:2. And as we have read John 6:25 to 35, there is something that, as a disciple of Christ, is helpful to us, not for the sake of doing it, but because as we want our minds transformed, we need to fill it with something. We can't just leave an empty void, because Satan will step into an empty void and he will fill it with something. So I thought tonight we would try something. We are going to memorize a verse together. Oh, really? Okay, this is not that hard. So it is John 6:35, when then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Okay, so take a look on the screen. Get it in your head, because then I'm going to start subtracting words. And you guys are going to read it back to me without the words. I know you guys can do this. I have firm belief that you guys can do this. Okay, ready? Okay. Okay, so take a look again. So you guys got it exactly right. Okay, ready? Okay. See, you guys can do this. Awesome. Okay. Ready? Okay. Let's go back for a sec. Almost. Try again. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. See? Okay. One look, and this is going to be the hardest one. Ready? Not bad. You get a gold star. And I put that up just not for the sake of putting it up, but that verse is actually the crux of tonight's message, and it's one of those important truths that we need to claim and put in our heads so that when Satan is sitting there shooting his little darts, he has no grounds. All our longings, all our thirst, all our hunger are satisfied in Christ Jesus. Amen. Absolutely agreed. But before we go any further, we should actually probably define what a craving and a longing is. And I was actually really surprised. So a craving is an intense, urgent, or abnormal desire or longing. A longing is a strong desire, especially for something unattainable, a craving. So I sat there and I went, oh, it's interesting that these are interchangeable. And as we think back to the passage, the crowd is longing to see more. They want the gifts and the idea of Jesus, but they are failing to seek after the gift giver himself. And Jesus calls them on their stuff. He says, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father set his seal. And to crave, that's normal. We all have cravings. We were created to crave. We crave simple things like chocolate, ice cream, a good job, a nice home, a man. And then there are other cravings which are deeply intimate and personal, that longing for love, that longing for acceptance, that longing for community, for a place of belonging. And underneath it all, our longings have the unique ability to reveal our brokenness and our need for God to be the one who fills that void. And what do I mean by that? So, food cravings, they can be satisfied, satiated for a while, but that deep ache, that deep craving, that deep longing that is within us, that part of ourselves that which is our soul, that craving or longing that emanates from that part of us which we so earnestly try to fill with things like work, family, doing things, addictions, covering everything from drugs to shopping and everything in between, pornography, sex, food, exercise. Yes, it is possible to exercise too much. But these longings are truly never really satisfied because there is an undercurrent running underneath, and there is something that just can't be satisfied in the things that we do or the things that we try to acquire or those things that we try to put in place of it. In the book Soul Cravings by Erwin McManus, he says this: there are these cravings within me, though, that pull on me like an addiction. They have always been with me and have even at times tormented me. They go far deeper than any physical addiction ever could, beyond my flesh, beyond my mind, beyond my heart. There seems to be a place where my deepest and most powerful cravings lie, and they do not lie silently. My soul, it seems, always desires and demands, no matter how I try to satisfy it, it always craves more. We try to fill ourselves with everything we can grab, yet there remains an inescapable emptiness within. Even when we've looked everywhere else, even when there's nowhere else to look, we still somehow neglect to consider the possibility that what our soul longs for is God. We can't take enough or make enough to fill the hollowness within us. No matter what we try to do, what we try or do, we can't avoid the void. Very telling. Cravings is the evidence that we were designed for so much more. So much more. We were created for relationship, and we were created with a purpose. But what happens when our cravings take root so solidly in our lives that they become idols in our lives? When we look to the satisfaction of our cravings, our deepest longings, in something or in someone other than God. Tim Keller says this, and this is actually one of my favorite books, and I brought it with me so I can show you guys tonight. The very things upon which these peoples were building all their happiness turned to dust in their hands because they had built all their happiness upon them. In each case, the good thing among many was turned into a supreme thing, so that its demands overrode all competing values. But counterfeit gods always disappoint. And often destructively so. We think idols are bad things, but that is almost never the case. The greater the good, the more likely we are to expect that it can satisfy our deepest needs and hopes. Anything can serve as a counterfeit god, especially the very best things in life. Anything elevated to a position above God will always disappoint, because it is not eternal, it will not last, it will turn to dust in your hand, and it will never satisfy. Because truly, our deepest longings are satisfied in Christ and in Christ alone. And those things that we crave that turn into idols, career, position, power, it creates workaholics. It brings distance from family. It leaves us with no time for God because we are so busy chasing after position and power, money. Our single priority is perceived success. With food, as we put that in a place, it brings eating disorders, obesity, an obsession with exercise. Love and that craving for it filled with something other than Christ often leads to promiscuity instead of purity, abuse of the temple of the living God, because that's what we are, ladies. Remember that. We are the temple of the living God. And for acceptance in community, it often becomes people pleasers instead of pleasing God, because we want to be accepted, we want to be liked, we want to belong. We then start to make choices trying to get that thing we crave to satisfy us, to make us whole again. But it can't. It's empty. A story that we may or may not know from Scripture is the woman at the well, and it's actually one of my favorite stories in Scripture. And Jesus reveals to her the depths of her sin. She's had several husbands, and the man that she is now living with is not her husband. It's her live-in lover. And we are going to turn to John 4, 10 through 18. John 4, 10 through 18. And we pick up after they've started speaking. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And in that sentence, she's saying, so I don't have to keep coming here and being ignored and shunned and ridiculed. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man that you have now is not your husband. And what you have just said is quite true." So the woman at the well has tried to quench her longings for acceptance, her longing to belong, her insecurities, and she's quenched them in trying to find her fulfillment, her wholeness, and her completeness in men. So much so that she has had five husbands and she now has this live-in lover. And Jesus does something incredible. He speaks to her. Now you have to remember this woman. She is a Samaritan woman. She would be shunned by her community because she has had this many husbands, because she is living with a man that she is not married to. And Jesus speaks to her, and he is Jewish, and she is a Samaritan, and they don't talk. But Jesus speaks to her. He accepts her as she is, knowing that she is a Samaritan and knowing the story of her life. And I think so often of all of us as Christians, not just in this room, just Christians in the church in general. How often do we say to someone, "I need you to be a certain way before I will journey with you towards the living water"? before I will stand with you and walk with you in any way, you need to be a particular way before I will speak to you. You look a little off, so I'll shun you like everybody else. How often do we do that? And Jesus gives her an invitation to the living water that leads to eternal life. On the flip side of how often we shun people ourselves and think that people just don't look right for us to be in conversation with or to spend time with, is the fact that every one of us in this room is that woman at the well. The only difference is the degree of brokenness our cravings will drive us to. And that's a scary thought. But ladies, we were created to crave. We were created to crave. But that craving is intended to and can only be filled by Jesus. Our deepest craving is for someone, not something. And we will not find satisfaction in the gifts, but only in the gift giver. When we are in Christ, ladies, we lack nothing. James 2:1-4 tells us that. When we are in Christ, he is our joy. When we are in Christ, and as we abide in him, he is our hope. When we are in Christ, he is our peace. When we are in Christ, he is our source of wisdom and knowledge. He is our sufficiency. And Philippians said, all our needs are supplied in Christ. And that, to me, is incredible. All our needs are supplied in Christ. It makes you kind of want to take a step back and think about, so where are my cravings out of whack? Where are those places that I have put something or someone in place of God and trying to get that person or that thing to fill the void, when truly my eyes should be fixed firmly on Jesus as he says, I will fill you with the living water. I will give you the living water. We sin when we look to the things of the world to satisfy us apart from our Creator. So when we put those things in a place above God, it is sinning. And that tragically makes us run from the very Creator that our soul longs for most. And Satan loves that. He puts us in a position where craving is okay, but he steps it up a few notches, and then the very thing that we're craving is what pushes us from God when we need to be drawing close to God in order to put things in perspective. At the root of our longings for companionship, for love, for connection, for community, and for freedom from the things that hold us captive, at the root of these desires and these longings to know that we are known and seen, I mean, think about this. Way back in the Old Testament with Hagar, God is known as the God who sees. Why? Because she is longing to belong. She has been rejected by the father of her son. She's been thrown out of the only home that she has, and she's desperate in the desert. And she is alone and lost. And God says, I see you. I see you. We are not alone in this world. In Christ, all of this comes to fulfillment. Our deepest longing is for him, as I've said. And when we allow Christ to satisfy our deepest need, we can be complete in Christ. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross gave us access to new life in him. A complete life, a life that lacks nothing. A life full of power and grace. We lack nothing. We lack nothing. He does his part. We do ours. We are to press on. We are to persevere, we are to keep moving towards the goal, but with our eyes fixed firmly in one place, towards Him. Ladies, truly we need to repent and ask God's forgiveness for where we have put things in His place, where our cravings have gone out of whack and we have put them above Him, where we have sought after the gifts instead of the gift giver. And we have to repent on those things that we have built up on our happiness on that are fleeting and sinking and that will never last. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other things are sinking sand. All other things are sinking sand. We need to delight ourselves in Him. We need to delight ourselves in His presence, in His word. And the only way that we can delight ourselves in Him and in His presence is by actually spending time with Him, by being in the Word, by praying, by connecting in community, by being discipled, by discipling others, by walking together as one body unified in concert together as we serve, as we connect with others, as we invite other people to come to the living water. Then, and only then, do we begin to put things in perspective. As long as we exist on this earth, there is nothing that we can do or say to make ourselves whole people. We can't do it. We will not be perfect in all of our ways, because we still have this thing called the flesh, which is a little bothersome thing. As Paul said, wretched man that I am, I do not do what I want to do, yet all of those do's. He says it so rightly. And interestingly enough, that was the verse that came into my inbox this morning, and I really had to laugh. I said, really, God? Okay. But we keep our cravings in check. And to do that, it's not something that you can do on your own. We all have blind spots. So for me, there's somebody that I walk with who calls me on my stuff, because she knows when I'm getting out of balance. And she says, so did you really need to get another piece of technology, Joy? Because for me, technology is my thing. It's the thing that can be easily out of whack, and I can spend countless hours tied up in technology doing things for God without praying, without seeking Him, without fixing my eyes on Him. So I know that it is not rightly placed in perspective. And I do the same for her. And for her, it happens to be pornography on the internet. And many women think that that's not the case for women. That is so not true. There's a statistic. 88% of people between the ages of 18 and 35 have sex before they are married. In the church, 80% of people between the age of 18 and 35 have sex before they're married. It's no different. We're seeking after those things that we crave in the flesh. But we can be complete before God because of our position in Christ, and He has made us complete. And God speaks to us in Colossians 2, and you don't have to go with me there, but you can if you want to. So in Colossians 2, it's beautifully expressed. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Or as it says in the NASB, in Christ you have been made complete. He is the head over every power and authority, and in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self-rule by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Doesn't that speak the gospel? He came, all of it was conquered, all of it was claimed captive, and we are free and complete in Christ. He fills us and makes us complete. All that we long for, all that we crave, all that we want for wholeness is made complete in Christ. And as we invite him into our lives and move past the idea of Jesus being our sufficiency, and I laughed when Brett talked about the idea of exercise on Sunday, because this was actually finished before he did that, so it's comical. But when we move past that idea of Jesus being our sufficiency to surrendering it all, then we will never thirst or hunger again because we are complete in the finished work of Christ. He provides everything that we could need or possibly crave. So ladies, I'm going to get you to repeat with me. And now it's a little bit different because this is our prayer. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Tonight, as we wrap up, I thought it would be a good idea for us to release and surrender all as we sing a familiar song, Christ is Enough, as both our prayer and our praise to him. Let's stand up. And we are going to worship together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that you help us to put things in perspective with clarity and wisdom, that you are our source of knowledge, of joy, of hope, of peace, Lord God. Father, just as we work through all that this lesson means, I would pray that we would never be so out of sync that we put other things before you. Lord God, as we have just sung this song, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Lord, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Help us to understand what it truly means to be in relationship with you as you fill us, as you make us complete, as you make us whole by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and how you continue to work in each one of our lives. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's daughters said, amen. Amen. If anybody is curious about the book that I was talking about, it's actually a relatively easy read. It's a good read. It is called Counterfeit Gods, and you can take a look at it. It's up on the table here.